I'm Marty Moscoen, and you're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. The indictment of Paul Manafort earlier this week has sent shivers down K Street, home to many lobbyists, some of whom, like Manafort, have worked for foreign governments. Tony Podesta, a powerful lobbyist with ties to the Democratic Party, his brother John Podesta was Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, resigned from his company, the Podesta Group, this week. We asked Theodoric Meyer to join us. He covers lobbying for Politico. And Theo, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks so much for having me.
So what's the mood on K Street these days?
I think it is a little nervous these days. Tony Podesta was, and I guess still is, one of the most prominent and recognizable lobbyists on K Street, as well, as you mentioned, a really big donor and fundraising force in the Democratic Party.
Now, Paul, there are many things that Paul Manafort was indicted for, but one, it has to do with the Foreign Agents Registration Act, FARA. Help us understand that, Theo.
So the Foreign Agents Registration Act dates back to the years before World War II, was designed to prevent the dissemination of Nazi propaganda in the United States. It requires anyone who is working for a foreign government in the U.S. or a foreign political party to register, as well as people who are working for other foreign groups that are looking to influence U.S. foreign policy.
No.
That is what Podesta's firm, the Podesta Group, as well as a second firm, Mercury, were doing. We're working for a foreign group called the European Center for Modern Ukraine that the special counsel, Robert Mueller, has alleged was actually sort of a front and under the control of the Ukrainian president and the Ukrainian government.
Is it unusual for a lobbyist to register under the Foreign Agents Registration Act?
No, it's not unusual at all, and many lobbyists in D.C. do foreign work. There are a wide range of sort of foreign clients that you could work for, from governments like New Zealand and Japan that are not controversial at all, or South Korea, to governments that have a slightly more controversial reputation, like, you know, say Saudi Arabia or Turkey, to little-known foreign political parties, to, you know, foreign nonprofits and other groups that nobody has heard of at all.
But it does make you wonder if Manafort hadn't registered when he was actually doing this work. It seemed there are questions about Tony Podesta and others. How much, I guess, enforcement teeth does FARA have? And it's under the Justice Department, as I understand it.
Yes, the Justice Department enforces FARA, and that's where you you have to register. So FARA traditionally has tried to prod lobbyists who they think are not properly registered to file the correct paperwork and to register. There have been very few sort of criminal prosecutions of FARA because you have to prove not only that lobbyists failed to register, but that they willfully or deliberately failed to register. And that's a pretty hard thing to prove.
But you're supposed to do it, right? I'm being a little dense here, but you're supposed to do it, whether that's willful or not.
You are supposed to do it. And for a long time on K Street, there was not as much fear that if you did not do it, that, you know, maybe you would get a letter from the Justice Department and you'd have to file more paperwork. But there wasn't a fear, in most cases that you were going to go to jail. One of the lobbyists that I talked with this week told me that it used to be that the Justice Department would work with you, to become compliant if you were found not to have filed the correct paperwork. And now there's a fear that there's going to be more sort of criminal prosecutions.
When a lobbyist is working for a foreign government, whether it's New Zealand or the Philippines, or Saudi Arabia, what do they do? What is their job? And I'm assuming it's to lobby Congress or to lobby the government, for some kind of favorable treatment?
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of foreign countries maintain, at least one or two sort of foreign lobbyists just to have a voice in Washington. And what they do can actually vary quite a lot, from holding meetings with lawmakers, to talking to lawmaker staff or administration staff, to reaching out to reporters like me. If you send an email to a reporter, you're required to disclose that if you do it on behalf of a foreign government. There are also sort of wide-ranging PR campaigns that have become more common. You see foreign governments and foreign groups running TV commercials here in Washington, running Twitter campaigns. So it's really a wide variety of activity designed to influence U.S. foreign policy in one way or another.
Do we know how many lobbyists in Washington work for foreign governments?
Yes, because they all, well, we know the ones that are registered with
right.
the Justice Department, yes.
How many of them exist?
I don't know the number actually off the top of my head, but it is in the hundreds or thousands. Mm-hmm. There are many of them.
And is it a lucrative practice to be a lobbyist for a foreign government? Can you make a lot of money?
It is lucrative. They are traditionally, and it varies widely from country to country, but it's traditionally seen as one of the more lucrative areas of lobbying. There's a huge number of lobbyists in D.C. who work from everything from relatively small, nonprofits that pay them $10,000 a quarter to foreign governments who can pay, $500,000 every quarter. So, or even $500,000 a month in some cases. So it can be very lucrative.
Who's making $500,000 a month? Do we know? Do we know?
Often it's countries that are in some hot water and have to pay a premium for their services. If you are lobbying for Japan, no one is going to send you angry letters or... That does not make you look bad at all. But if you're going to represent foreign leaders that may be less scrupulous, as Paul Manafort did in the past, sometimes you have to pay a premium to do that.
And he represented Mobutu Sese Seko from, it was then called Zaire, Ferdinand Marcos of the Philippines, Oleg Deripaska, someone that we're learning more about these days. How much of a revolving door is there between government and lobbying firms?
There is a large revolving door, and some of the more prominent foreign lobbyists are people who are former congressional staffers or former members themselves. I spoke to former Senate Majority Leader Trent Lott about this the other day, who has lobbied for countries including Saudi Arabia and Turkey. There are plenty of other former members who represent foreign governments. So there's a significant revolving door.
That's Theo Meyer, and he covers lobbying for Politico. We're talking about K Street, where many lobbying offices or firms are located, and the impact of the indictment of Paul Manafort on K Street. One of the things he is accused of or charged with is not registering as a foreign agent. And you can join us by calling us at 1-888-477-9499. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Any questions or comments to join the conversation? Let's talk a bit more about Tony Podesta. Again, he's the brother of John Podesta. As I understand it, he's pretty powerful in Washington, I think known for giving really good parties. What do we need to know about John Podesta?
About Tony Podesta, you mean?
Tony Podesta. Thank you.
So Tony Podesta has been a force in Washington for a long time. He has built up this firm, the Podesta Group, into one of the largest lobbying firms in Washington, representing a lot of very prominent clients, including BAE Systems, a huge defense contractor, Walmart, Lockheed Martin, another huge defense contractor. He also has a reputation for dressing in a sort of flamboyant way.
I was wondering where you were going with that, Theo.
He has a home in Italy, an apartment in New York. He has an art collection that is one of the best in Washington. So he is definitely a force, and people were very, very surprised, I think, when he, you know, ultimately stepped down as a result of what is going on.
He also has worked with Paul Manafort, and maybe for those of us that don't live in Washington, D.C., that seems like an odd arrangement to have. Is that unusual?
Well, you have to understand that Manafort, you know, until he started working for the Trump campaign, was a, you know, known quantity in Washington who had been working in politics for decades, but was not sort of the famous figure that he is now. He spent a long time working for foreign governments and political parties overseas. So I'm not sure that it's unusual for, you know, someone doing foreign work overseas to, you know, help make connections for foreign governments that, you know, want to have a voice in Washington. What is unusual is the way that, you know, at least the special counsel alleges that this was set up, that there is a, you know, sort of foreign nonprofit, this European Center for a Modern Ukraine, that they are alleging was really just a vehicle for the Ukrainian government and the Ukrainian president and his political party to be able to lobby in Washington.
And Tony Podesta was doing work for this European Center for a Modern Ukraine, correct?
Yes, Tony Podesta's firm was working for this nonprofit. They maintain that the nonprofit told them that you know, it was not a sort of entity that was controlled by a foreign government or a foreign political party or something like that, meaning they did not have to register under FARA in this way. So their argument is, you know, this nonprofit lied to us, and that's why we did not register before.
How about Michael Flynn? He also had done some work for Turkey and did not register with FARA. Is he in any way implicated in all of this?
So he has not been named in any of the indictments handed down under the special counsel so far. It is widely believed that the special counsel is also investigating Flynn's activities and Flynn's own foreign lobbying. So that may be something that we will see in future indictments to come.
Are there efforts now to enforce FARA's regulations so that people like Manafort and Flynn and others do what they're supposed to do if they're going to be lobbying for foreign governments?
There are. There's been a call from senators and lawmakers in both parties who believe that FARA is has not been particularly stringently enforced. Senator John Cornyn, the number two Republican in the Senate, said at a hearing this summer that he feared these sorts of violations are happening around this town all the time, which is you know, a pretty remarkable thing for a leading senator to say. So Senator Chuck Grassley, who is the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, which held this hearing, introduced a bill on Tuesday that would beef up enforcement of foreign lobbying rules, along with a Republican member of the House. So Democratic senators and representatives will also introduce legislation. So we'll see if that ends up going anywhere.
An email from Warren saying, great reporting, and do the lobbyists pay their taxes? Do they pay tax? I mean, if they're paid by a foreign government, does that in any way complicate how they're going to report their income?
I don't believe so. I believe it is, you know, reported as income the same way that you or I would report our income.
Are there ways, though, around FARA that you know of, besides not registering, but workarounds?
Yes, there is one workaround that. So if you are, you have to register either with the Justice Department under FARA or with the House and the Senate the way you would if you were lobbying for a domestic company, you know, like Exelon or like Walmart. So if you're lobbying for a foreign government, you have to register with the Justice Department. But if you're lobbying for a sort of foreign group, it is a little bit more gray. And if you are not working to influence U.S. foreign policy on behalf of, in a way that could benefit a foreign government, you're allowed to register with the Senate or the House, which is less stringent. There's less that you have to say about what you're doing in Washington.
About a minute.
So some people go that route, and some lawmakers want to shut that off so that there's not that sort of gray area in which you can register with one or the other.
Final question. K Street used to be called Gucci Gulch. That's what I remember from a number of years ago. Is K Street the swamp?
It's a little unclear what Donald Trump is referring to when he talks about the swamp. Sometimes he seems to be using it to mean Washington lobbyists, but otherwise he at other times he uses it to attack leading Democrats or members of his own party or seemingly anything about Washington that he doesn't like. So I think it is the swamp when it is convenient for the president to use it that way, but at other times it can mean other things.
Well, Theo Meyer, thanks for joining us today in Radio Times.
Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. And he covers lobbying for Politico, the third of three guests in this hour of Radio Times. Catching up on a ballot question before Pennsylvania voters, also what's happening on Fox News this week, and talking about lobbying and the indictment of Paul Manafort. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times. You can find out much more about the program. You can download a podcast of the show. You can find us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. You can also sign up for our newsletter. Diana Martinez, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, the show produced by Debbie Builder, John Ahrens, and Trinae Nuri. I'm Marty Moscoe. Thank you for joining us.